say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And we're going to talk in this show today about inflammation and the relationship between inflammation and disease in the body. And more doctors are finding that inflammation has not just a little something to do with disease, but has everything to do with disease. And quoted in this article that we're going to discuss are MDs. All right, so these are not wackos. These are people with very, very good credentials who make the case, a very strong case, based on the evidence that not only is inflammation a key to disease in the body, but that, well, we call it ground zero. That is, the mouth and gums are one of the triggers for this inflammation, one of the greatest purveyors of inflammation and bacteria that can cause disease elsewhere in the body. You know, one of the things in the article that they mentioned, though, is that, you know, exercise is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So they said don't overdo it, but it is important to do, to exercise like an hour a day or something like that. And I was going to say, I've been swimming or jogging for 23 years. And
how,
you know,
how frequently?
A lot, probably 5 days a week.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's not bad for a fat boy, you know. So, but I have friends who are joggers or avid joggers, and they get, what is it called, runner's high?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, they feel like all of a sudden they're just a head without a body, and the body's just kind of going on autopilot. Mm-hmm. So they're not getting tired, they're just kind of going along. Well, I got to tell you, I've been running or swimming for 23 years, okay? I've been running for since 2000, so 15 years. I have never gotten runner's high once.
Me either.
Okay.
Every single step. For 15 years, I never got it.
Okay. Every single step
yeah.
is torture.
Yeah. Work, agony, yeah. making yourself do it.
Right.
Never felt it.
Actually,
did you, Dr. Edelstein? You were a runner.
I did.
You did?
Describe
it to us. Yeah, we're jealous.
I remember just having a euphoric kind of a feeling, no question about it. And but unfortunately, I wore my knees out. So I ran and ran and ran with this wonderful feeling until I couldn't run anymore. So
now, what do you do? Now, keep it clean. What do you do now to replicate that euphoric feeling?
I'm running. Do I have to keep it clean?
This is a family show.
Good question.
Actually, as long as I do low impact stuff, I've had one knee replaced. And mm-hmm. I need the other knee replaced. Mm. And eventually, I'm trying to put it off because it was such a big surgery. But I have a really nice elliptical at home. And I put a nice 42-inch TV in front of it. And I watch the news or I'll watch a movie or something. And I've tried to reproduce the high with the surround system in the room mm-hmm. that I put in.
Mm-hmm.
So an elliptical works great for me, and it's low impact, and it's the closest thing I could get.
And the knee replacement, even though it was a big surgery, it was successful. Huh?
Yes, it was very successful.
Well, that's great.
It was very successful. It was actually not as big a deal as I expected. I expected to be out of the office for almost a month, and although I put aside 3 weeks, I could have been back in almost, a little over two
really?
Without any problem at all. And it feels great now. It's not what God put there originally, I have to admit.
It might be even better.
No, it's not. It clicks on occasion.
It does click.
There's a sore spot. There's a numb spot. And it doesn't feel exactly.
Is it rust or something when it rains? Or?
I don't think.
That's titanium.
It is, yeah.
Just like dental implants.
Yeah, it is.
Sue, you were a jogger, you said?
I was a jogger,
and you stopped, when you broke your arm?
No, knees, same thing. I mean, they ached all the time. And my back, the impact is not good for me. Some people can run their whole life. I'm not built for it. I tried it for 10 years. I liked it. But
I have heard over the years that you have 20 years of running in you.
That's probably true.
Whether it's 20 to 40 or 40 to 60,
yeah.
You have 20 years and then you're going to wear something out.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
how many years did
15
you?
15 that I've been running.
You got five more. You're on borrowed time.
And I had 8 years of swimming.
Yeah. Well, that's actually
a little less impact.
That's low impact.
No
that's
impact, great. Really.
I know, but you know, it's a pain. As much as I loved it, I used to swim right near where your office is in Piedmont.
Piedmont Hospital. Yeah, they have a great pool.
It's like right across the street from the hospital.
Yeah, that's my gym.
Yeah, but you know, you got to take a really special shower with a special shampoo. I put earplugs in.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
there and back.
And I don't want to share a lane with somebody else. And, you know, when I run and everything, I have equipment in the house. I don't have to go out to the gym. I can do it at home.
You don't play nicely with others, Jeff?
Well, they've never liked me. I'm just kidding. No, look, when you're sharing a lane with somebody, it's easy to bang into each other.
Sure, yeah, I'm teasing.
All this kind of stuff.
Unless, of course, she's cute.
Yeah, then I feel bad swimming behind her. Because I don't want to be, you know, rude or anything, but, you know, you're swimming right behind a woman.
Sure.
Can you do? You know, I don't want to be rude, but what the heck? You know, it sure makes the time go by. No, just kidding. All right, so we're talking about inflammation, health. And this is an article from, when is it from, Doc?
This article, let me give you some background. This is this month. It was in our mail over the weekend. Amy, my wife, pointed it out to me that Monday morning over a cup of coffee. This is the Lifetime magazine from Lifetime Fitness. It's called Experience Life. And this is a beautifully well-done magazine. It's got quality articles in it. Lifetime Fitness is the owner and operator of over 100 really terrific clubs around the country. I know they have two fabulous clubs in Atlanta. We belong there. It's been a really good thing for us and the kids. And this was an article in this terrific magazine. It comes out monthly. It's written by Kristen Olson. She's a writer, a journalist. And she wrote this article, Five Fundamentals of Lifetime Health, The Big Picture. Discover what you can start doing now to prepare for your healthiest and vibrant future. And basically, there are five aspects of this of these recommendations to live healthy and live longer, because these recommendations have been shown to increase the quality and the length of life.
You know what I thought was interesting? Number one was control inflammation.
Number one.
Okay, it wasn't 2, 3, 4, or 5. It was number one.
Right.
First thing, control inflammation. Well, why are we talking about inflammation on a dental show? Because, well, one of the top sources of inflammation in the body, after I think the gut, they said in the article, correct, is the gums.
I don't know about after. I've seen other articles where periodontal disease was number one source for chronic inflammation in the body. Other sources that I've read in other articles, one is prostatitis, and the other is sinusitis. Mm. This is the season where people get sinus infections. It's chronic sinusitis and prostatitis are two others. But I keep seeing periodontal disease being cited as the number one source for chronic inflammation in the body. And, you know, it's important to the listeners that we differentiate between acute and chronic inflammation.
Yes.
Acute inflammation, you would die if we didn't have. You get a splinter, the area becomes red, swollen, inflamed, infected. That's acute inflammation. And if you didn't have that, you would literally die from a splinter. That's a life-saving process.
Is that sort of the body's trying to go to work for you?
Yes. It sends red blood cells, white blood cells into the area. That's why it's swollen. That's why it's red. It's trying to heal the invader.
And it's a good thing. But there are situations where we have chronic inflammation. Arthritis is one. Periodontal disease is a big one. And we've talked on past shows. Periodontal disease starts off as a bacterial infection. But the body mounts such an inflammatory response, and it is so chronic in nature, it is highly treatable, by the way, and we've talked about that on previous shows. But you end up with an inflammatory disease, a severe but chronic inflammatory reaction that is mounted against the periodontal infection. And it's silent. People don't know it's there. There's an epidemic in this country. 70% of the people over 65 have some form of periodontal disease.
Wow.
It's underdiagnosed, it's undertreated, and it's one of the main sources for chronic inflammation. And we know now that chronic inflammation can and does lead to other systemic maladies.
One of the things it said in the article, too, was age-related diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease Those are scary things.
We're beginning to find some evidence to support those connections.
What's scary about those that the article points out is sometimes when we have inflammation, we sprain our ankle, there's pain associated with it. The brain has no receptors for pain. So Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, although they may be red hot, quote unquote, in nature, they're inflamed. No one feels that.
So we don't get any warning.
There's not a warning, exactly. And the source of it may not have stemmed in the brain. It could be chronic inflammation somewhere else in the body that's causing this silent disease in the brain.
Are inflamed gums, are they painful?
Sometimes not.
Most of the time, not. You would be shocked, Jeff, how infected someone would have to be till they have any signs or symptoms at all.
Really?
Yes. It turns out that this infection drains into the mouth, out of the little pockets of around the gum. And if there's drainage, there's not pressure. If there's not pressure, there's usually never pain. So this is really a silent killer. There could be a tremendous amount of infection and no pain whatsoever.
For how long?
For decades.
Really?
Yes. People can lose half their teeth and not have any pain.
And have gum disease all these years, decades.
Yes.
And never get it treated because they don't recognize any symptoms.
They don't realize that there's a problem. And as I mentioned, it's frequently or commonly undertreated and underdiagnosed even in the professional community. We talked on previous shows, physicians don't really look at the gums. Physicians aren't trained to pick up periodontal disease, and they could be trying to help patients with very significant amounts of periodontal disease and not even know it.
Isn't that a shame? Because our GP, you know, if that's what they still call them, or our family practice, mm-hmm. That's our first line of defense, you know.
Right.
That's the first person who should be.
I think, when in the 80s, didn't we start learning to have more fiber in our diet, know what our cholesterol was? So I do think that we as a population are becoming more health conscious. And I do think that we, in the face of managed care, have to be our own proponents. We have to view our bodies as I own it, and I'm going to hire my doctors to help me take care of it.
Be your own advocate.
We have to be our own advocates. And I think searching out long-term chronic inflammation is key. If anybody, the article that Dr. Lestine referenced, 5 tenets to living a healthy lifestyle, and we can go over the other 4, although the inflammation is the one that we are mostly concerned with here as it relates to periodontal disease. I do think that we have to be more proactive as owners of our body at ridding ourselves of chronic inflammation. I mean, even as I read this article, I know I don't have gum disease, but I do have stomach and stomach acid issues. I don't want to end up with Alzheimer's because I may have a leaky gut. You know, I'm going to be now talking to my personal GI specialist about, I want to make sure that we take care of this now, that we control this now, because I know I won't be having things from gum disease, but might there be something else in my body that is a source of chronic inflammation?
All right, so aside from looking in your mouth and seeing that, well, there's inflammation there, the gums are inflamed, is there a test you know of to determine whether you have inflammation throughout your body? I thought they had come up with a test.
Yes, actually there is. It's called C-reactive protein. And if that's elevated, then it's a kind of a very vague general test for chronic inflammation in the body. And we actually have some information where if periodontal disease is treated, if someone has periodontal disease, then the C-reactive protein goes down in number.
We've had a few patients. There's a really good infectious disease doctor close to our office. And we have had a few patients. And I'm sad about that. I wish it were more. But we have had a few who their C-reactive protein test comes back elevated. My physician does one on me as part of my routine physical. And they can't find a source of chronic inflammation. So, well, why don't you see this gum specialist down the street? Maybe he can take a look because nothing else shows up. But it's kind of sad that here periodontal disease is one of the major causes of chronic inflammation. 3 out of 4 adults has it, and still the medical community almost uses gum disease as a last little, well, we could look under the stone. It's a long shot. It's not a long shot. it's not a long shot.
And 70% of us who are over, what, 50 or something?
65.
65.
Have gum disease.
50% over age 35 have some form of gum disease.
Wow.
And this is the latest information from the CDC.
It's not a long shot that periodontal disease just might be causing your elevated C-reactive protein test.
Wow.
Ask for it. When you go in to have a physical, ask for it. Make sure it's a part of your blood profile.
All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask more about the causes of gum disease. You know, is it from neglect? Is it because we don't see the dentist often enough? Was we don't floss? We don't brush our teeth properly? Is it have something to do with our diet, et cetera, et cetera? Is it our genetic makeup? Is it hereditary? We're going to ask those questions when we come back. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. They're located at 2045 Peachtree Road, the office of Dr. Bruce Edelstein, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. And, of course, I have to say it at least once per show. Go ahead, Sue.
Next to the Darlington.
Darlington.
Where apartments. The population sign resides.
Doc, did you check the population today?
I did not.
We got to do it.
I missed it today.
It's almost 6.4 million.
It's almost 6.4,
wow,
yes.
That's amazing. All right, we'll be back with more of Open Wide with Sue Edelstein and Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
Yeah, let's not have confusion.
In just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And the show is Open Wide. By the way, I want to remind you folks, we have a new patient special. It's $129. I might tell you that I took advantage of it myself. You know, I don't want people to think, well, you were my dentist, so I had you do a radio show.
Yeah.
It's the opposite way. You were already doing a radio show. I had another dentist, started listening to you.
And realized.
And you're talking more and more, you know, asking you some questions about, you know, friends of mine. You
know? Yes.
And I'm sure you had no idea that I was talking about
none whatsoever.
No.
None
whatsoever. Couldn't imagine.
And then I said to you at the end of one of the shows, I said, I need to make an appointment to come in. Well, it was $129. I got $600, $650 worth of services for it.
Yeah.
Was very satisfied with what I received, and also, you know, your assessment of my situation and where I stand.
Well, I mean, getting back to us being our own advocates, if you're going to go to your internist and ask him for a C-reactive protein test because you want to find out if you have inflammation, $129 is not that much to come in. Because even if your C-reactive protein test doesn't show that you have massive inflammation, what if you have early gum disease? Goodness, let's be more proactive. Let's treat it early, cheaper, easier.
Isn't it?
It's not that much to come in and see.
Mm. I saw a very nice woman just earlier today, and she had very, very minimal amounts of inflammation, very minimal, that would have been easily overlooked by most any other dentist. But she decided to be proactive. She decided to come to a specialist for an examination. She came with the new patient special, and we were able to point her in the right direction and recommend very minimal treatment to get her ship shape.
What kind of treatment?
Well, there are two big picture ways to treat gum disease, and there are subsets, of course. There's a non-surgical, deeper scaling way, and then there's a surgical way. And there are also antibiotics and other adjunctive things that we can use. She needed just even barely a minimal amount of scaling. So very basically what she needed was a more detailed cleaning, period. And then routine cleanings after that, and she's going to be healthy and happy and live a happy life and not have inflammation bothering her.
She had no idea that she...
You know, she was very proactive in her life. She was referred to us by another patient who was her eye doctor and who was a patient of ours. And I guess she suspected. She's been away from the dentist for a year. She had one area in the front of her mouth that was a little red. She had no pain.
Where is the site normally of the first inflammation?
It varies.
It can be anywhere.
It depends.
In the mouth.
In her situation, she had a crown restoration. And a crown restoration, frequently, even if they're done beautifully, there might be a little nook and cranny right where the edge of the crown meets the root under the gum, and it probably collects a little more bacteria than a natural tooth. So that was a site that was a little more prone. But actually, the most common site where periodontal disease begins in the very, very earliest of cases, it's between the top two molars, the first molar and the second molar on top.
On top?
Yes.
On either side?
On both sides. Usually it's bilateral.
You're talking about teeth like numbers 1 and 16?
Yeah, actually, most people don't have 1 in 16. Those are wisdom teeth.
I have 1 in 16.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're wise.
I can name three others I don't have, but I got 1 in 16.
It's between 2 and 3 and 14 and 15, between the first and second molar. It turns out that those are larger teeth. They're harder to clean between. They have three roots. So there are reasons why that area is usually the first area to have gum disease.
Do we do a lot of chewing with those teeth?
Yeah.
In particular?
Yeah, but that's not why.
Because they can really do the job, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the food that causes gum disease. It's just the bacteria that grows in our mouth every day. Whether we eat or don't eat, we're going to still produce plaque around our teeth.
And in the nooks and crannies, little areas in there, they grab onto.
The nooks and crannies enable a more mature or bacteria. You know, the bacteria doesn't, it's not one or two bacteria, it's mats of millions and trillions of bacteria on the head of a pin even. And once they get a certain amount of depth, then you get different types of bacteria that are anaerobic in nature. And it's those types that cause the tissues to be more inflamed and cause bone loss.
Hmm.
And as I mentioned, that people can have a tremendous amount of infection, bone loss, and significant problems to where teeth are even hopeless, and yet they don't have any pain.
Really?
Yes. Early signs include bad taste, bad breath, a little bit of redness here or there, a little bit of bleeding when someone brushes and flosses. That should never be accepted as normal.
You know, people don't know that. Never. I'm telling you,
You're
they
right.
think, well, I just brush kind of hard, you know,
yes,
so it...
Yes, they do. Or that's kind of what my gums always do. Or I take an aspirin a day. Even if you take an aspirin a day, your gum should not bleed.
Never.
Right.
Never, ever.
You know, if you washed your fingernails and they bled, would you not be rushing to the doctor?
Yeah, I'd be like, what's the matter with me?
Right, exactly.
And now, if I have gum disease, should I have my children checked for gum disease? Will they have a higher preponderance of gum disease than the children of people who don't have it?
Yes. There is definitely a genetic component to it.
My mother had gum disease, and they did a terrible thing.
Except keep in mind, we just mentioned that 70% of the population has it. So it's not like a rare bird and your parents have it, you'll have, you know, no. I mean, there are other reasons for it, and it's much more common to say that, yeah, everything you mentioned before the break, there is a genetic component, there are other components. Someone who's diabetic is more prone to gum disease. Exquisitely so. Smokers are more prone to gum mm-hmm. disease. Anyone with any immune deficiency whatsoever for any source is more prone to gum disease. Mm. And of course, if someone stays away from the dentist and doesn't have routine professional cleanings, as well as if someone doesn't floss every day, and what am I missing, Sue? There are bunches of others.
You're hitting all the highlights.
Maybe
really.
The highlights. But, you know, and there are other...
Crooked teeth.
Crooked, that's
one.
True.
A lot of dentistry on your teeth could also... A lot of ill-fitting crowns, a lot of old restorations can lead to gum disease. Gum recession can lead to gum disease. The more you expose your roots, especially your multi-rooted teeth, the more now you have avenues for bacteria to invade.
Gum recession, huh?
Yes.
Wearing braces can cause gum disease.
Really?
It's very difficult to clean around brackets, especially for the adult.
Yeah, that's an obstacle course
yes.
to clean around those brackets.
You know, I've never
monitors.
Heard that.
Oh,
yep.
yeah.
Yep.
Now, most of the time, kids get away with it. They get inflamed, but their immune system does not turn a switch, and they do not usually get bone loss.
Right.
But adults get inflamed, and they'll end up with bone loss.
Yes.
We don't have the same immune system.
There's a big difference. There is a difference after age 35 that adults are prone to bone loss and kids aren't.
Mm.
So that's why kids that have braces, even if they get inflammation, it's usually reversible. Now, that said, I got to tell you, we've seen scores, if not hundreds of patients that had braces when they were kids. They had trouble cleaning around those braces. They may have bleeding gums here or there. They ignore it. And then they become, they're in their 20s and 30s, and they have huge problems. And that problem started when they had braces, but it was never diagnosed and never treated.
Wow.
It's so common, you wouldn't believe it.
And had it been treated back then?
Had it been treated like then, it would have been an easy, a detailed cleaning or two, and it's fixed.
And then if they don't, they could end up in a world of hurt.
Big problems.
Later on. All right, we're going to take a break now. And when we come back, let's talk more about this article. It's a wonderful article. We have two articles, actually, to talk about. One is called The Big Picture, Five Fundamentals of Lifetime Health. And number one on their list, and this comes from Lifetime Fitness's magazine, yes. Experience Life. Number one is controlling inflammation. And well, why are we talking about that? Well, one of the great sources of inflammation in the body is the mouth, and specifically the gums. The other article we're going to talk about is called Chronic Inflammation, Reduce It to Protect Your Health. And again, they say that they talk about the link between gum disease and heart disease that has been very well established, according to this article. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, located at 2045 Peachtree Road in Atlanta, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Now, I've been to your office probably about three times now, Doc. It's beautiful. Is it a beautiful place, Sue, to walk into?
It is beautiful. I love
when you go in the morning.
Every day. Oh, yeah. It doesn't feel like a dental office.
No.
It doesn't look like a dental office.
No,
and we designed it that way on purpose.
Well, and I think we ought to tell our audience, Dr. Edelstein, that you really could be a professional photographer.
Oh, thank you. You're very
kind.
Yeah,
we haven't touched on that a lot.
I mean, you're a heck of a photographer. I mean,
he's an amazing photographer.
It's amazing. The most amazing one to me, and I've seen several of the pictures in there, but not all of them. The train, the person sitting in the train.
Oh, thank you.
How'd you do that again? You kind of walked up and down
I made that photograph 25 years ago. So it predated digital technologies.
Wow.
And what I did is I knew that the exposure was 30 seconds. So I walked up and down the aisle and sat still in the picture for about 10 of the 30 seconds. I created a ghost image of myself.
That's wild.
I did it one time.
Were you amazed at the outcome when you saw it? It was like,
I was, but I knew
voila.
That I knew that it was going to work. You have to remember, Jeff, I've been doing photography since I was 10.
Wow.
So you get a certain amount of experience. And I've read tons of articles and trial and error. And I knew that it was going to come out just like that.
Mm. Well, you have beautiful artwork.
Thank you. Thank you.
In your office there. And plenty of free parking outside. And what is the wait time for people when they come there for their appointment, assuming they get there on time?
It better be zero.
We hope
zero.
None.
You get
we
right
strive
to them.
For none.
It's amazing.
We schedule accordingly so that there's no wait.
Wonderful. Folks, visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. We'll be back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein when we return.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. The show is Open Wide. Dr. Edelstein, you're a periodontist, and at least once every show or maybe once every couple of weeks, I'd like to kind of restate for our audience your credentials, your education. You have very good credentials.
Thank you.
Let me see if I can restate them. So you got your undergraduate degree from Cornell University. Excellent.
Yes.
Ivy League. What was your major?
Biology with a minor in human genetics.
Wow. Human genetics.
Human genetics.
How apropos to what we're talking about today. Of course, back then, genetics was, this was a long time ago, Doc.
Yeah.
You know, so it's...
you're telling
we
me.
We didn't... They'd come
don't,
out...
Don't rub it in.
You're right. They would... after you graduated, they came up with something called DNA that they had discovered. But DNA, like, it's an acid, isn't it? Like, the A stand...
Yeah,
is that some kind of
yeah,
an acid?
Yeah, it is.
It's
it
a
is.
Very long name.
Yes.
I believe.
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, because of my major, I blew my son away.
Really?
Yes, I blew him away. He was studying biology. He's in ninth grade now. This was about a month ago or so. And I look, and he has the, I guess, the nucleic acids. There was an A yeah. and a T and a C and a G, I think. And I look over, and he's learning about DNA, and I go, Watson and Crick. You know, that was one of the guys that won the Nobel Prize
no.
for discovering
it.
Yeah.
When was it discovered?
Maybe
the 50s?
It predated me when I went there, maybe 60s. Wow. 50s or 60s. So I go, Watson and Crick. And he goes, he looked it up, and I was right. I completely blew him away.
Yeah.
Who would remember that?
And he's fortunate that he has a dad who knows so much about this stuff, if he has a problem.
I just remember a little bit of trivia here or there. You wouldn't believe what I did forget. But Cornell was a lot of fun. As a matter of fact, Jeff, I've been meaning to tell you, I went back there 2 weeks ago for the very first time in 38 years since the day I graduated.
That must have been amazing for
you. It was amazing. I almost was in tears.
So that was 1977?
Yes, 77.
Mm-hmm. And what was it like?
Going back?
Yeah, it was quite different looking?
It was. The parts of the campus was very similar. The
place is a couple hundred years old, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the 1859 or 62 or something, something like that. And the campus was very similar, maybe a new building here or there, but 90% was the same.
Very old buildings.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ivy League. Mm. Ivy covering every building. The town of Ithaca was a lot different. A lot of different stores. There was a J. Crew. I mean, there was...
Is it fun, though, to walk around the campus and see the kids?
I'll be honest with you. I mean, the young kids, I was a young kid too, 38 years ago, walking through that campus. I mean, it was great to go back, but I did feel kind of old. They looked at me like I was, I was kind of old too.
Like you got three heads or something.
Yes.
You know? So you got your undergraduate degree there, and then you went to dental school at Emory.
Yes, Emory next, and then the University of Pennsylvania for my specialty training.
And you got a very good education in both locations, huh?
Yes, all three. All three were terrific experiences and great mentors, and it was terrific.
Now, who was it, your dad or your uncle, that encouraged you to go to Cornell?
My father. My father had he was an electrical engineer, but he never graduated from college, believe it or not. And he owned a company that manufactured transformers, which he built from scratch. The company needed money, and they took on a partner that graduated from Cornell Engineering. And I remember when I was 8 or 9 years old, he sat me down and he said, maybe if you do well, you'll go to a place like Cornell.
And he did.
And he got sick. He died. And
how old were you when he died?
15. And he got sick when I was 10. And I completely forgot this conversation. Completely. And I was driven to go to Cornell. And the week I graduated, in a dream, I remembered him telling me that. It was stuck in my subconscious.
Now, wouldn't he be proud,
He would. That's one of the reasons why I felt so compelled to go there.
Obviously. And how long have you been practicing now?
30 years.
Wow. Do you ever think of your competence today compared to, say, 30 years ago?
A huge difference.
There's no question about it.
Between,
when you meet a young dentist just out of school and they're maybe in their first year of practice, just honestly, is there any comparison between somebody in that situation and
somebody like you? I think it would be challenging. I mean, that's why we take continuing ed. That's why experience is a great teacher. You learn from, that's why I take photographs of my cases, especially if there's any cosmetic implication, because I want to learn from each case how to do it better the next time.
Wow. Do some of the older dentists, more experienced, kind of try to mentor the younger
ones?
Yes,
absolutely.
Help them out. Well, you're a teacher over Medical College of Georgia. And
we are. By the way, they changed the name again.
Oh, what is the name now?
It's Augusta University now.
Oh, no.
Good
yes.
gracious.
Wait a minute, so somebody gets their degree from Augusta University?
I think so.
Wow.
They changed it from Medical College of Georgia to Georgia Regents
University. Health Sciences, something. Who can remember?
And then now they with another $40 million to change stationery and signs, they changed it again to Augusta University now.
Good. All these banks that get bought out, wouldn't you love to have the sign franchise,
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to have that?
That contract.
Changing out
20,000
signs.
Signs.
And they change out every 6 months, it seems like. They got a new name.
That's funny.
Bank South became CNS, and then it became Bank of America, didn't it?
Isn't there Nations Bank in there somewhere,
and
too?
And then there was another one mixed in.
It's just amazing. And Wachovia is gone. It's Wells Fargo. Trust Company's gone. It's SunTrust,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. And then the little ones get bought out.
Wachovia was first Atlanta with the Tilly the Teller.
That's true.
Remember?
I do.
I don't remember.
That was the first debit card machine.
No, I went to school at Wake Forest in Winston-Salem, and Wachovia was very big there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very big. I think it was based in Charlotte. Sue, maybe you can take a minute. Tell us about your background. You're a hygienist, and you've been working with Dr. Edelstein for 20 years.
20 years, yeah.
It's amazing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Been a hygienist for 32. So my credentials were very easy to obtain. When I went, dental hygiene was a two-year program. It was just an associate's, but one of the nation's best schools happened to be in my backyard, so it was easy to go to.
But then when you get out into the working world.
Yes. Oh, my God, it's so different.
How so?
In hygiene school, you had 5 hours to clean someone's teeth. Once you get out into the working world, it's about once every, well, in general, sometimes every 30 to 40 minutes. So it was a big adjustment trying to get that done in a very short time period.
And you look back and laugh like,
oh, gosh, yes.
How maybe perhaps how uncoordinated you are in the very beginning.
Oh, God, what did I know I was doing? I mean, you know, I scraped stuff off, but I had certainly no idea, certainly not what we're talking about today, that I was actually controlling inflammation. There was no discussion about inflammation. I remember the first dentist I worked for, a lot of his senior citizens who had advanced gum disease, as I would begin to talk to them, because here I am fresh-faced out of school, well, their gums really are bleeding a lot. Why don't I show you how to brush better? And he would come in, and this is a true story, he would come in and interrupt me. Sue, you don't need to do that. She's fine. Her gums have always been that way, bless her heart. I've known her all my life. Can you believe that?
No. Wasn't it kind of embarrassing for you, too?
Wow. It's kind of... I didn't stay there very long.
Take over.
But, yeah, and he smoked in the back office, by the way. So what does that tell you? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always wonder about dentists or doctors who smoke, you know.
Yeah.
It's like...
Smoked in the office every day. I went home smelling like smoke every day. Yeah.
All right. We've got to take a break now. When we come back, let's talk about the second article. It's a wonderful one. Thank you for sending it over to me, Sue. It's called Chronic Inflammation, Reduce It to Protect Your Health. And it says inflammation is linked to... well, diabetes, depression, heart disease, and cancer. And this article discusses what you can do about it. One of the things involves the gums. You're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein from the office of Dr. Bruce Edelstein, located at 2045 Peachtree Road in Atlanta. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. We'll be back with more of Open Wide with Sue and Dr. Edelstein when we return.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Let me just remind our listeners about your new patient special. I happened to take advantage of it myself back in August. $129. It is worth $650, folks. It's worth every penny of it. So make sure you take advantage of the new patient special and get just a complete workup, $650 worth of services. There's no way that you make any money on that $129.
Oh, no. I mean, no, it's a way to give back to the community and to eliminate a barrier for someone to seeking the care that they need.
You know, I still think it's better to pay the $129, let's say, than to even get it free. Because I really believe that the patient should have some skin in the game, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, sure.
So we're in this thing together.
Yeah.
And the patient is, in some sense, contributing to it instead of just being scot-free.
Sure.
People, when something's free, they don't appreciate it.
That's true.
You know? So let's talk about the second article that we had referenced at the beginning of the show. It's called Chronic Inflammation, Reduce It to Protect Your Health, Dr. Edelstein.
Yeah, I want this. The source is the U.S. News and World Report, so it's a credible source. This is from 2009, and I chose this article because it's representative. You can go online and Google chronic inflammation, and you will get scores of articles very similar to this, talking about how bad chronic inflammation is, and citing gum disease as one of, if not the most common sources for the chronic inflammation, and how bad chronic inflammation is. But I wanted another source besides the Lifetime magazine, a little more credible perhaps, but really this is representative of of many, many, many other articles that the listeners can read about the same subject. And chronic inflammation is bad, and we could fix gum disease, so we can eliminate one of the more common sources for it.
Well, one of the things that it says here, and they just come out and say it right up front, is the link between gum disease and heart disease has been very well established. Period. You know, it's there's no...
It has been.
We suspected it for a long time, I guess, but now there's just no question about the link.
It has been. There's a 2 times greater chance of having a fatal heart attack and a 3 times greater risk of having a stroke.
Now, it says here...
If someone has periodontal disease, that is.
Okay, it says, and researchers now think they've pinpointed the possible culprit. The very same bacteria that cause inflammation and swelling in the gums appear to be a source of inflammation and thickening of the arteries. That's very ominous.
Well, you know, there are some studies to show that they've actually cultured some of the periodontal pathogens, some of the bacteria from the gums. Every time the gums bleed, bacteria get into the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And every time the bacteria get into the bloodstream, they're floating around, and they've actually cultured bacteria from periodontal pockets, periodontal disease, in the erythromas, the developing thickening of the artery walls in the heart.
And this is not crazy science.
No.
This is well-established, and in the doctors are quoted in the article or MDs. This is not crazy stuff. This is the real deal.
It's here. Yeah.
It is here. You know, because there are a lot of crazies out there, and they have their own little TV shows and things like that. And, you know, shark cartilage, you know, to cure cancer. And gosh, I remember, was it Andy Kaufman had cancer, and he went to Mexico or someplace to some clinic, and Steve McQueen, the actor, mesothelioma, and he went to a clinic in Mexico, and it was all... It was all hocus-pocus stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is not hocus-pocus.
No.
This is the real deal. And it says here, it says that previous studies have shown that those who get their gum disease treated wind up with lower levels of inflammation. Wow. Mm-hmm. So is it reversible in that sense?
The chronic inflammation?
Yeah.
Yes. It absolutely is. And we can show... many patients that get their gum disease treated have lower levels of a marker for inflammation, which is called C-reactive protein.
Isn't it interesting, though, that sometimes it takes medical science? You know, Sue, you've always said, you know, we've only had wheels on suitcases for a few years now, and it doesn't, you know, it seems like it's something we would have known, you know, 100 years ago.
Right.
To do. But there are certain things we know now. We just know intuitively. Haven't you known for many years, before even they came out with this link between gum disease and heart disease, didn't you feel intuitively that people who've got this inflammation in their gums, man, they're messing with their entire body?
Yeah, think about it. You know, someone who has this disease, they have bleeding, swollen, infected gums, teeming with bacteria. We've known that for years and years that was the case. We've also known that this bacteria gets into the bloodstream a few times a day, if not more frequently, whenever someone with periodontal disease brushes, flosses, or even chews food. That bacteria is getting into the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
So we've known this for a long time. It stands to reason that that's going to cause something in other parts of the body besides tooth loss.
Mm. And what is the, you know, you said 70% of people over 65 have gum disease. What would you say is the, what's the wheelhouse, you know, for gum disease? Where do you see it the most often? Certainly in the elderly, people over 65, but I mean, is it your practice, people in their 40s?
Yes. Yeah, we also, there's actual a more aggressive type of gum disease that we see in children.
Really?
Yes.
Should a parent have their child checked with a periodontist?
If there's any history of having an aggressive form of periodontal disease, and for anyone in the family, then the answer is yes.
And the child could very well have inherited it.
Yes, because if we get to it early enough, guess what? It's fixable.
Mm. Right.
It's treatable. It's fixable. And it's more likely to be reversible in a child.
And the fact that you have it is not necessarily indicative of poor hygiene.
No.
It could just be genetics.
Yeah, not this particular form that Dr. Edelstein's speaking of. It is usually more genetic.
Wow.
And destructive, if untreated. Very destructive.
Wow. Well, folks, keep your gums in good shape. Go to Dr. Edelstein. And also the other things that they mentioned, you know, exercise,
Get all some those sleep, good things.
Get sleep.
Control stress.
And, you know, I've told you, I exercise like a banshee, but I have never experienced runner's high. I don't care.
You're still mad about
care.
It.
You know, by the way, when I'm running...
Maybe that's why you still have your knees.
That's true, bro. You know, when I'm... A lot of times I'm jogging, I'll say to myself, or I'm jogging outdoors, you know, on a beautiful morning, say, isn't this great, you know? And then I say to myself, no, it's not great. This is not great at all. This is painful as can be.
I can give you one word of advice. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah. What do you say, a 20-year lifespan?
That's what they say.
For the knees?
20 years. You have 20 years worth of knees.
Oh.
So when you have 5 more years. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Great. On that note, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And, you know, I was going to go jogging tonight. I'm not going now.
Well, it's about to rain, so.
Yeah, there we go. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com, located 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Plenty of free parking, and I would wholeheartedly suggest you visit Dr. Edelstein's office. Thanks very much, Dr. Edelstein and Sue. Talk to you next week.
Our pleasure.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, Tuesdays at noon on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.